welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 227 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm very good. I'm a long way away, but I'm very good.
You're over in Qatar, hey?
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you perfectly. Hopefully everyone else in the world can as well. But yeah, coming through loud and clear.
I can hear you too, which is good.
Good flight over. You're there for a bit longer this time, eh?
Yeah, I'm in a two-week turnaround this time because it's Mental Health Month.
Oh, right. I thought it was just Mental Health Day or week or something.
Well,
blimey.
It's the 10th is the day, but it is really a month. So we're doing as much as we can in mm-hmm. that month to set stuff up for staff, because massive amounts of staff coming into the project here.
Wow.
So busy. But good.
Okay, right. We're talking about technology this week, aren't we, Sean? Initially about kind of some virtual reality stuff that I've been playing with and hearing a lot about. But we'll talk generally about kind of how technology can and possibly will impact therapy in the years to come and how it has in the past as well. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website. Any new listeners, hello, welcome along. Check out our website for all the show notes and links. For this and all previous episodes, they're all available there still online for you at no cost. If you stick your email address in one of the boxes on the website, we'll send you weekly alerts for the show and you'll get free meditation files as well as a discount code for our book, Live in the Present. Isn't that right, Sean?
Yeah, and it's worth getting.
it certainly is, yeah. It's a work of art, a work of art. Apart from hopping on a plane for however long you do, what else have you been up to?
I'm actually on a Game of Thrones fest.
Okay.
What happened was Robert kept getting on at me about, you got to watch Game of Thrones, you got to watch Game of Thrones. So in the end, I gave up and put on the Game of Thrones and downloaded the whole lot. So I've had all seven series and I've been watching it back to back and I'm on the last series now.
Flipping heck, that's good going. How long have you been on it for then? Months you've been watching it for?
Well, I started last time I was here, so about a month, I guess.
Oh, wow.
To get through all seven series.
So you've made fast progress, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I kept getting stuck after episode three, you see, so he kept saying to me, come on, you've got to watch it.
So I take it, not that it needs much endorsement or any extra eyeballs on it, but has it been worth the time, Sean?
It's one of those things that it's a storyline that grabs you. And once you've been grabbed by the storyline, it's hard to be free of it.
Yeah.
So it's easy to just end up, you've got to know what happens next.
Yeah, so yeah.
I'm at that point where I'm thinking, what happens when you get to the end of this? Because there has to be something that happens after this, surely. But who knows?
I don't know if it's one of those. I haven't seen it at all, really, apart from a few trailers. I don't doubt that it's awesome, but yeah. Those shows, man, it's like EastEnders or Coronation Street. It's just there's always another story to tell, isn't there? Which is good in some ways, but
yeah,
flipping heck, it's a bit daunting, especially for someone like me who hasn't watched it yet. What is it, series 7?
Yeah,
it's a lot to get through. We did it with Breaking Bad, actually. We resisted for ages and watched it, got into it quite a lot.
Then
we OD'd on it, so to speak.
Yeah.
Not on Crystal Meth, but on Breaking Bad. But we got about season 3 or 4, we got halfway through and we just kind of ran out of steam with it. And I think we overdid it. So,
right.
Yeah. what were we watching? Yeah, we're watching Mad Men at the moment on Netflix. So it's pretty cool.
What's Mad Men?
It's about kind of 50s, 60s advertising era in New York. It's pretty cool. It's quite laid back, actually, and it's not one that ends on a cliffhanger every episode, so you don't feel like you've got to kind of jump into the next one. You can watch it quite leisurely. And, but here, let's not talk about TV all day, hey?
No.
Although that is a form of therapy for many. in fact, millions around the world, I'm sure. We're going to talk a bit about virtual reality and technology side. I sent an article to you, Sean, didn't I, about how virtual reality is being used by some quite serious therapists to help clients conquer, at the moment, issues such as fear of heights and flying. It's quite a good article that I linked to, quite a lengthy one actually, but really in depth, which I found very interesting, but just because I'm a bit of a geek anyway at heart, and I have dabbled with virtual reality. But yeah, what are your initial impressions, Sean, or your initial thoughts?
Well, I've never put a headset on, and from what we were talking about earlier on, I think I need to.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I realised when we were talking is that I do a lot of visualization work with people. So if anyone's listened to any of the recordings, like the beach is one that is used a lot by people. And when you're taking someone through a visualization, they're effectively going through their own virtual reality, but the screen's inside their head, isn't it? Rather than in a screen on a headset.
Yeah. So I guess the initial question there is, do you think this is a cop-out, or do you think this is a tool that will help help you kind of get that image into the head? Or do you think people need a blank canvas so they can project their own thoughts into their
head? Well, I think that the jury is probably still out. But from what you were saying and the stuff you sent me, that there's quite a lot of research being done which would suggest that with certain kinds of issues, anxieties, phobias and stuff like that, that it can be a very effective tool.
Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of, it's early days for the technology, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I wondered when we were talking earlier on is what potential there is for people that are disabled. You know, maybe their legs don't work. Mm-hmm. And could they have experiences of going? You were talking about doing 360-degree videos of you walking places. You know, could the people actually have those that couldn't move their legs and were in a position then to be able to go for a walk, go for a virtual walk? And I wonder what kind of effect that would have.
Yeah.
Or if someone's paraplegic, you know, they can't move, would it be a way of allowing that person to be able to actually get up and do something and have an experience of doing something?
Yeah, you know, it would be interesting to strap on some kind of mind, like a brain monitor, wouldn't it, to people who perhaps can't move from the waist down but can kind of move the head enough to kind of look around a virtual world. And I mean, for those that aren't up on VR at all, because virtual reality has been around for a long time. I remember when I was 16, I went to Canada in the 90s, and you know, used to see them at like video game arcades, these virtual reality things where you'd step into this little area with a bar around it and you'd put on one of this big headset. So this was back in the 90s, but I remember then having a go at it and thinking this isn't very good, but the idea was pretty powerful. And now, thankfully, finally, kind of technology and processing power and all that has caught up with the world or with people's imaginations. And my good pal Mike, who I share an office with, has got the full virtual reality rig at his house. Hopefully we're going to have it here in the office soon as well. Which basically is just, it's a headset that plugs in by quite a chunky cable, actually comes off the back of it into his PC, which is a powerful PC. And then you have two, they're called wands, I think, like a wizard's wand, but you have one for each hand that kind of you hold like a microphone or something, and it has two triggers on, a trigger on each one, and a strap so you can't kind of drop them too easily. So there's loads and loads of demos you can try out, and it's hard to explain, but it's really, really powerful. On the few demos I've tried, it immediately transports you to this other world. It's like there's no delay when you move your head; it kind of moves exactly as it should. Like, you can put your hands up in front of you using these wands and twist them around, and you can see the back of your hand. And if you squeeze the trigger, your hands will open and close. So for some simple little games I've tried, where it's like a bow and arrow game where you've got to dip in and get your bow and then fire it off for these hordes of people that come in towards you. And I remember the table tennis one I tried actually as well. It was strangely just incredible because you've got to, you just go into this room and you're at this table tennis. You use one hand to pick the ball up and you've got to kind of squeeze it to pick it up. And then you've got to chuck it in the air and let it bounce and then use the other hand, obviously, to play table tennis. But there's like little, the things you hold in your hand, they vibrate a little bit or they're set to. So when you hit the ball, it buzzes a little bit. So you get the feedback. It's really powerful. So I came away just like blown away by the potential of this technology.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's feeding through now to therapeutic situations.
I guess that there could be a lot of, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking about the way that we train people like surgeons.
Yeah, for sure.
What you could do with them effectively opening up a body and working on it.
Yeah, I think I need to look this up before I post a link, but I think the first kind of remote surgery has already been achieved by some sort of technology like this. Yeah, that's in the works as well.
If I'm thinking about the Game of Thrones that I've been watching, I don't know how much of that is computer generated, but there must be a lot of it is computer generated.
I'm sure, yeah.
And I suppose that's the essence of virtual reality, isn't it? You're creating this world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the difference is, for me, is that if we're doing a visualized hypnotherapy, then the virtual world that the person's experiencing is actually their own. It's their own images.
Yeah.
Where, when we're doing something which is digital, then we are getting someone else's images.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that as well. I mean, I've mucked around with ideas, you know, chatted to you about them, about potential that maybe think applications we could make as living the present in the years to come. But so, for example, something that's quite therapeutic for me, so when I would be, if even when I get a little bit stressed out with work or whatever, is to take a walk on a specific beach in Northumberland that I go to, you know, a few times a year with my family. And it's like, as soon as I'm there, it's just instant kind of relax. So the technology is out there already where I could go there with a 3D camera and do the walk with it, either sticking out my rucksack or just held out in front of me. So that when I got home, I could then upload that 3D video to my computer and get a headset. And whenever I wanted to, I could stick the headset on and go on the walk on that, on this beach. And so for me, that would be amazing. Be perfect, really.
I guess one of the things that you could do is, from a live in the present point of view, is you could do meditation virtuals where you are actually sitting somewhere, like, you know, under a banyan tree in an ashram or on a beach or on the top of a mountain, where you're actually sitting somewhere. So the experience visually and sensorially was that you were actually there.
Yeah.
And you were doing your own meditation, but in that environment, that virtual environment. That would be an interesting thing to do.
That would be very interesting. Very interesting. Mm. I mean, I want to get back to this idea. Is this a bit of a cop-out? And would you use things like this? Can you see yourselves using technology like this in the future with clients? Or
I really don't know. I mean, I can see that the idea of working on phobias, maybe even working on some post-traumas, I could see that there's quite a lot of work that you could do like that. Because if you think about the relationship of visual stimulation, is that when we are encoding memory, we're encoding visions. We're not encoding words. So if I say to you, think of a dog, you don't think D-O-G, you think of a dog.
Yeah.
And you can see the dog in your mind. So that kind of visual language is something which is very much a part of how we function as personalities and as people.
Mm.
And we're only going to know that and understand that the more we get into neuropsychology. So I guess that neuropsychology and that whole kind of virtual world are running alongside each other in terms of us being able to understand how our systems work and then how we can influence them. You know, I mean, is there a case where eventually we could take your brain out so that you wouldn't have to die, but we could connect your brain to a virtual reality device so that you could experience a virtual world without having any eyes or ears or anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure where this is all going to take us as a species, is it? I mean, we're on, it's kind of an, a bit of an unstoppable train, I think, isn't it, really? We're not quite sure where it's going to end up, but there already are and have been for quite a number of years online worlds, you know, where you can have a, people do have whole other existences, where so it might be through the portal of an actual screen, so people would just spend all their days kind of staring at a screen, sat in their back room or whatever. In Second Life, I think, was one of the games, I'm not sure if it's still going, where you could basically create this online persona and inhabit this 3D world. And it's got really quite in-depth in that it had its own currency that you could trade in, and you could create your own house, and you could own bits of land within the world. And I just wonder whether we're going to end up where people will live. It's a bit sci-fi, I guess, but where the people will live online existences, and our bodies will just kind of be left to, I don't know, we'll be hooked up to some kind of machine that kind of gives us enough nutrients to get through the day.
But the thing is, who makes the machine to put the nutrients in? What is that?
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a sci-fi mood at the moment. I watched Blade Runner at the weekend. The old one, the original. In preparation for the new one that just came out. So, I'm in a bit of a dystopian place at the moment. But
who's in the new one?
Ryan Gosling. Harrison Ford's in it again. Ryan Gosling takes the lead, I do believe. It's supposed to be incredible, actually, from all the reviews I've seen. I don't know if it's out in Qatar yet. Do they have cinemas over there? I assume they do. I'm sorry if that sounds, if that offends anyone in Qatar, but can you just pop out of the cinema whenever you want?
I really don't know. I don't know what the cinema issue is here. There isn't a lot of social life here. I mean, there's places to eat and stuff like that. And I guess the more that you get into it, certainly the expats have their own kind of choirs and dance clubs and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of, there are the malls that you can go to. Shopping is a big thing here. But beyond that, there doesn't seem to be a lot to get involved in, really.
You need to get some stuff going, Sean. Get some things on the go.
Yeah. People are always telling me how they're kind of oversubscribed to different channels where they can watch movies, you know, Netflix and stuff like that.
Right. So everyone just retreat back to their apartments and houses and
Well, very often it's so hot that you can't go out. That's the issue.
Yeah.
We're coming into a cooler season. So it's now 36, 38 degrees during the day. Temperatures are dropping down. By the time December, they say it should be under 30.
Okay.
Into the 20s, which makes it a more kind of doable proposition. I mean, before we hooked up online, I just walked down to the mall, which is only 10 minutes away. By the time I get back, I am just drenched. And that's not hot sweat. It is the humidity. It's very, very humid here.
Blimey. It's kind of similar to where, I mean, it's the other way around, but I was joking with one of my neighbours yesterday that I look forward to seeing them again in spring, because in the summer, everyone's doors are open. Obviously, people are out and about doing the gardens, and kids are playing out front. So we see each other every day, our neighbours, and you're saying hello and having chats, which is amazing. And then autumn, then winter comes, and it's obviously dark a lot of the time when you leave in the morning or when you get home. So people are just shut away for 3-4 months or so. You catch them again in the spring.
I did have a strange experience today because they've moved, because the big hospital is opening and they're moving offices around. The new occupational health department is in a basement, which is a luxurious basement, but there are no windows. It could be any time of the day or night down there.
Blimey.
Which is quite weird because you're in this very kind of hot, bright place, but then as soon as you dip down into the rooms below the ground, then you're... you could be anywhere, really.
Very strange. In terms of current technology, obviously we're all glued and addicted to our phones and iPads, not least me and you, Sean. So what tech are you using at the moment the most to get you through the day and put perhaps things that you recommended to clients as well?
I tend to, in terms of media and that kind of stuff, I download stuff before I come away, usually. And on here, they have, on the TV, they have something called BBC First, which has lots of BBC stuff on it.
Okay.
But in terms of media for doing things like trying to make yourself better, that kind of stuff. To me, the powerful ones are the meditation and visualization apps.
Yeah.
They're the things that enable you to develop that part of yourself, which means that ultimately you end up taking control of your system rather than your system being in control of you. It's that kind of place that they take you.
I know we talk Headspace to me all the time. Calm.com is a good one. I use TimeHop. To kind of remind me of what I was up to a year ago, 2 years ago on this day, just to kind of reinforce positive little things that are going on in my world, photos that I've published, that kind of thing. It all links into my social media, which I'm...
I think it's good that.
Love that. There was an app I used a long time ago called Lyft, a habit tracking app, but I've just found out that it's renamed itself. I haven't used it in a while, but it's called Coach.me. Coach Me. So it's labels itself as a home for ambitious people. So you have this app, and you can basically use it initially to just track habits. So what I would used to do when I used it was I'd have 6 or 7 things every day that I wanted to do, whether it was meditation, whether it was, I had simple things like send a text message to a friend just so I could keep in touch with people and stay in touch with the world, get 30 minutes exercise, that kind of thing. So you can do it for any habit you want, really, and it kind of, obviously, the idea is that you want to go on these big streaks where you can do it for a week, every day, then a month, non-stop, that kind of thing. But
get the same effect from using something like Siri or Alexa.
Yeah.
Telling them to remind you every day to
do. For sure, yeah. Exactly. You can do it, you don't need to. I mean, there's a free version of this app that you can do that, but then for various add-ons, you can hook in with proper coaches. So technically, you could be on this site, Sean, as a coach for psychotherapy or for anything you wanted, really, and people could hire you through this app. So you might want to have a look at it, actually. But people could hire you to for a weekly fee to keep them on track, that kind of thing. So it's pretty fascinating, actually. Very good. Anything else you want to mention at all? Have you got a resource?
I'm sticking 2 resources up now, and they both are online resources, which are mindful resources. So one is Be Mindful Online, mm-hmm. Which is a good one, and the other one is the Palus MBSR course, which is mindfulness-based stress reduction.
Okay.
But both of them are like mini courses. Both of them are freebies, I believe. And
cool.
But at the end of it, it takes you on a journey. It takes you somewhere where, and it takes you through the power of visualized, meditative, mindful space.
Very good. Well, I'll stick the show notes in there. I'll stick the links in our show notes. I'll also put up a few links to VR demonstrations and little bits and bobs that I think may be of use to people.
Well, when you set up in the office, I'd certainly like to come and have a go.
For sure. And we've got loose plans to kind of start doing little videos in the office and create a little YouTube channel where we can show off some demos and stuff.
Yeah.
So when we do get you in, Sean, we'll film the whole thing so our listeners here can watch and watch as your jaw hits the floor in amazement.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okie dokie. I think we're all done, aren't we?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
You have yourself a good week. livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. You've still got 2 weeks to go, haven't you, in Qatar, Sean? So I think our next 2 or 3 episodes will be
Over
the airwaves using the wonder of technology.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, you take care and we'll see you next time.
Good thing stuff. Okay. You take care.
Cheers, Sean. See you guys.
Bye.
See ya. Bye. You still there?